In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, we are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 104, Duties of Other Superiors. We have a picture of one of the presidents giving State of the Union speech, I believe, to both houses of Congress. The caption reads, "Upon being chosen to a public office, an official acquires not only rights, but duties as well. Judges, legislators, and other public officials must treat everybody with equal justice and must give the best service they can to the people. They are responsible before God for everything that they do, for all the decisions they make." Above is a U.S. president addressing Congress. Okay. First question, what are the chief duties of those who hold public office? The chief duties of those who hold public office are to be just to all in exercising their authority and to promote the general welfare. Public officials have a grave responsibility before God. The higher the post, the greater the responsibility. Legislators, members of the cabinet, judges, and all office holders, everybody from the lowest to the highest, will have to give a rigid account to God of all that they have thought, said, done, or omitted, every law passed, every vote given. Quote, "A most severe judgment will be for those who bear rule," from Wisdom chapter 6, verse 6. "Those in high office should regard it as merely committed into their care for a short time. No one should strive after a position of authority which he is not competent to fill. One who aspires to a dignity, to the duties of which he is unequal, is like a baker who tries to man an airship. If, however, a person feels himself competent and is willing to accept the duties of a post, it is good for him to endeavor to obtain it, if thereby he can contribute towards the welfare of others. One on whom honors and positions are conferred should have as his principal thought the accomplishment of the duties connected with his position. He must not think much of himself on account of the honor. It makes him no better in God's sight. Virtue alone gives a man true worth and distinction. Herod was a king. Mary and Joseph were poor laborers. But Mary and Joseph now are very near God, and surely Herod is not so near God. Quote, "Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, even as the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve." From St. Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 and 28. Public officials must set a good example because they occupy a conspicuous position and because example is better than precept. Officials do more by their example than by their orders and regulations. Like a city seated on a mountain, public officials cannot be hid. Others quickly imitate them. What a responsibility before God is it for an official to lead an immoral life and thus corrupt numerous young people by his bad example? What a scandal it is for an official to be the first to break the law. How should public officials promote the general welfare? Public officials should promote the general welfare by safeguarding the rights of all, passing good and just laws, and enforcing these laws impartially. Interesting themselves in the spread of good moral customs and religion, and punishing evildoers. Being the representatives of God, public officials should imitate His justice. The common good, not the benefit of a single person or group, should be the object. Civil officials should be ready to sacrifice themselves for the citizens. Christ the Good Shepherd laid down His life for His sheep. Officials must be impartial. They must show favor to none, but treat all equally, rich or poor, prominent or unknown. Quote, with God there is no respect of persons, from Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Judges must beware of acting unjustly or of allowing themselves to be corrupted by bribes. They must not let the rich and powerful induce them to give unjust judgment. Acceptance of bribes by public officials is a sin against the seventh commandment. Quote, God made the little and the great and hath equal care of all, from Wisdom chapter 6, verse 8. Public officials should particularly provide for the welfare of the poor and helpless, the destitute, sick, orphan, and the great body of the working classes. These less fortunate citizens often have no power to protect themselves. The laws and rulers must therefore safeguard them without, however, injuring the welfare and rights of others. Officials have a serious obligation to promote the Christian foundations of our Constitution. They should work to make Christian principles prevail in a Christian country, safeguarding education, respect for the Lord's Day, marriage, etc. What are the duties of superiors in general? In general, superiors must provide for the spiritual and material welfare of those over whom they have control. Employers should be considerate of their inferiors. They must not oppress their employees, nor keep back their wages, nor exploit them in any way. Oppression of the poor, the widow, and the orphan, and defrauding laborers of their wages are sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. Some employers make their people work in unhealthy and overcrowded rooms. They hardly give them any time for rest and for their meals. They require of them more work than they can do. Employers should give their employees a living wage that is enough for them and their families to live on decently. They should allow them ample facilities for fulfilling religious duties. They should look after their health, watch over their morals, attend to the religious instruction if they are Catholics. For other duties of employers, see pages 230 and 231. That is a lesson on capital and labor, which we will get to in lesson, 114. What does the fourth commandment forbid? The fourth commandment forbids disrespect, unkindness, and disobedience to our parents and lawful superiors. Disrespect includes all irreverence and stubbornness against lawful authority. One offends against the respect due his parents when he talks back at them, refuses their correction, or strikes them. One who thinks and acts as if he were superior to his parents is a disgraceful snob. For even if a son or daughter has graduated with highest honors from the best university in the world, he still owes his parents due respect as God's representatives. Contempt and unkindness are contrary to the love we owe our parents. One offends against the love due his parents if he curses them, despises them, hates them, grieves them, or makes them angry. Children at times speak sharply and insultingly to their parents. We should recoil in shame before doing this. Even if we only think of what our parents have done for us, the continuous and unending sacrifices they have made, we should burn our tongue out before we speak contemptuously to them. Quote, he that curseth his father or mother, dying, let him die. From Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. Children may sin against obedience, either by refusing or neglecting to do what is commanded, or by doing what is forbidden. Showing unwillingness is also a form of disobedience. A young child is disobedient if he neglects his studies, goes with forbidden companions, goes out without permission, etc. Older children disobey by attending forbidden shows or dances, going out with forbidden companions, or at forbidden times, concealing their earnings from their parents, etc. That ends the reading of Lesson 104 on the duties of other superiors. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, no one wants to speak up and tell us about we must obey our parents in all things except sin. If the parents tell you to go play in the street and get yourself killed, you are not obliged to obey them. And the same with other superiors. I think I may have pointed it out in the last couple lessons that the parents hold the position of God. Other superiors likewise hold God's position over us. And so all that is not sinful, all that is good and just, I guess, we should obey, we should respect and honor, if for nothing else, honor the office, because all authority comes from God. And so that includes teachers. When we are sent to school, the teachers are taking the place of the parents. They are, if you will, the delegated representatives of the parents, and the parents who hold the place of God by, I say, a natural right, the right given to them by God as parents. The teachers hold a delegated position of authority, if you will, that the parents have entrusted their children to these instructors, these teachers. Our elected officials likewise hold this authority, even though they may not be directing us, have direct connection with them. They don't issue us a direct order. They still demand, or God still demands, that we respect them, that we honor the office. Even if there is a dishonorable person in there, that dishonorable person will have to answer for the scandals that they've caused. And I think it's almost expected now, I think, from our elected officials to be scandalous and to lead a scandalous life, so much so that it, I think, very seldom scandalizes anymore. We're not shocked by it, but I guess if it leads others into sin, then it is truly scandal. I've often thought that perhaps the greater scandal is in our entertainment industry, with the musicians, the actors, actresses, the celebrities. Their lives are not worthy of following, but yet it seems that our young people are attracted to that and they want to follow them, and their lives, as I point out, is immoral. And their lives are not really happy. They've been married and divorced, many times over. They have no real friends. Their whole goal is the entertainment of people and getting the applause of people. But now people have become a burden to them. They have a position of authority, if you will. Because they have their pulpit with everybody listening to them, watching them. And I think it is really blown out of proportion now by our instant communication, our social media. But those influencers, if you will, hold a position of authority. I don't think I could say it is a God-given authority, but one that they have usurped or surreptitiously obtained by enticing the youth to a dissolute life, if you will. And so that's the reason why parents would often forbid certain companions or entertainment, and why we must obey them rather than what everybody else is doing, what our friends are doing, what is popular, what is in fashion. All those things are misleading, tempting, they become scandalous. And if we have to commit sin in order to entertain ourselves, then we should not entertain ourselves. That should be clear enough, but yet our children can't seem to understand that because everybody else is doing it. It has become an accepted scandal, if you will. All right, and so that scandal, I think, will be covered in another lesson here in my Catholic faith. But if there are no questions or comments, then we will end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.